And praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord. And the presence of God is truly in this place. So if we can do this one more time, if we can lift up our hands where we're seated right now and thank God for the presence that we feel in this place. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, man, I'm thankful, amen, for what we feel in this house this morning, amen. God is truly good. He has been so good to us, amen. So before I start, I want to thank Pastor Brownie for the opportunity for us to minister to you. Sister Brownie, thank you for the hospitality. You guys have been truly awesome. Thank you all for being here today and giving us the opportunity and to hear us today, amen. Before I start, I want to present my group. I have my sister Mackenzie, my sister Joanne, my brother Edwin and my brother Alex, amen. We're all from California. We go to Bible college out there, amen. We go to a Bible college known as Christian Life College, where we're being trained as ministers of God, amen. And I believe all of us have been called to the ministry, and we've all been called for great things, amen. And God has been truly doing a work in our tour. We're on tour for 8 weeks, 2 months. We've been on the road for 3 weeks, so we've been in Utah, Nevada, Oklahoma. We've been across all of the United States. And our next stop after this is West Virginia, New York, Chicago, amen. So if you all pray for us as we head out in this journey, amen. Amen. So like Pastor mentioned earlier, my name's Angel Estrada. I don't have a long message to share with you. It's going to be about 10 minutes, but I want to share with you my testimony and what God has done in my life. Amen. So I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Amen. Just give me one second. Verse 17. Amen. When you have it, say amen. Amen. If you can stand to your feet for the reading of the word. In Jesus' name it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. If you believe that word, can you clap your hands to God? Amen. Because he can make anyone new. Amen. And I believe somebody today is going to be made new. Amen. I believe somebody's going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all can take your seats. Amen. So just to give you a little background about who I am, my name's Angel Estrada. I was born in Mexico. I mean, I didn't have the privilege, as many of you, to be born in this country. I was born in a third world country, horrible conditions, amen. My mom and my dad, they weren't married at the time. My dad was older than my mom, and he was abusive. He was an abusive father, abusive to my mom. And so I grew up in a home with lots of fighting, lots of screaming, lots of violence, lots of physical violence. And at the age of 5, you know, my mom and my dad, they were on and off. My dad would leave for a couple of months, would come back, be with my mom. Violence would erupt again in the home. My dad would leave. And it wasn't until the age of 5 that my father left us completely. So it was my mother, a mother of 23 years old, and 4 young boys. And so, you know, not growing up with a father kind of leaves a scar on you. You know, I think it's every boy's dream to go with your father, play sports with your father. You know, all boys say, I want to be like my dad when I grow up. And I didn't have that. I didn't have a father for a few years in my life. And so, that happened. And my father left. And it was also after my dad left. And this is something that not a lot of people like to talk about. But I'm going to be honest with you, because I believe God, this word is for somebody here. And God wants to set somebody free. Amen. And so what took place was, at the age of 5, I was molested by various people in my family. And that was another scar in myself. That was bondage that was placed on me. So now I didn't have a dad. I was molested. So those were chains that began to wrap around myself, and I didn't see them because they were spiritual chains. Amen. And as I kept on growing up, part of my family, they were into witchcraft. And as a kid, they took me to see witch doctors, and they did all kinds of weird things that my friends really don't know this part about me. And so those were more chains that were put on me as a little boy. Amen. And at the age of 8, We started going to church, a Pentecost, well, apostolic church, amen, in Mexico. And the thing about this church is that they didn't believe in the Holy Ghost. So they didn't believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. So there was no deliverance there, amen. And my father, who was an American citizen, used to go to Mexico every year to help out in the church in Mexico. And that's how my mother and my stepdad and my mom met. And, you know, they got married when I was 9. When I was 10, we moved over to the United States, and that's why I live in California as of now. Amen. But I hadn't realized the chains that were upon me. I hadn't seen the bondage that was upon me until I started to go to middle school. And you know, that's when you get that growth spurt and you get all those hormones going. And I understood there was something wrong with me. There was a hole in me. There was something missing in me. And there were scars that needed to be healed. And I was going to a church where the Holy Ghost wouldn't move. So I couldn't find healing for my scars, for my pain. Amen. And so I was in middle school. I was going to this church where there was no Holy Ghost, no power of the Holy Ghost, amen. But they believed in Jesus' name baptism. And I remember at the age of 15 in a youth camp saying, God, if you're real, touch me. If you're real, show yourself to me. 15-year-old in the back of camp, I didn't want to be there. I was tired of going to church. I raised my hands and said, God, if you're real, show yourself to me. And the thing is, I didn't get the Holy Ghost then and there, but something happened in me. Something changed. Tears started coming down my eyes, and I felt as God was taking away the shame, the guilt, the bondage, as a freedom started to come in me. Amen. Months after that, I was baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. And glory to God. I remember being baptized, and I felt as I was walking on clouds. Amen. I felt as I was on cloud 9. I felt free. I didn't feel in bondage. I didn't feel like I was held down by sin. But this is the thing. This is the problem, because I was only baptized in Jesus' name, and I didn't have the Holy Ghost. I didn't have a way to fight all the chains that were in my mind. I didn't have a way to fight the strongholds that had been set in my mind. Amen. So I'm telling somebody right now, if you're struggling in your mind, if you're struggling in your heart, you need the Holy Ghost to be set free. Not only do you need to be baptized, but you need the Holy Ghost, because you need the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. And so, age 15, amen, I'm going to be extremely honest with you. Is that okay, Pastor? I'm going to be blunt, and I'm being honest with what God did in my life. And I'm going to speak about this, because this is something that we don't like to talk about in church. Amen. And at the age of 15, I was introduced to pornography. Amen. And I remember from that moment on, not only had I been molested and my father had left, and I was trying to fill what was missing in my heart. So I looked over to pornography, which you can access on this dumb little device right here. And I just kept on getting into this and getting addicted. Amen. And I had read the Bible, and I had read that it said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. And I would tell God, God, I'm baptized in Jesus' name. Why am I not free? Why am I still chained up by this thing? Amen. And it wasn't until I discovered through one of my friends what the Holy Ghost was. And I realized that is what I need to be set free. Amen. And so, as I said, I had been bound and I was fighting this addiction, and I would try my best to not watch pornography, to not be addicted to it, but I had no power. I had no authority because I was lacking the Holy Ghost, amen. But I remember at the age of 21, I went to a service, and God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it was there and then when I realized that I had power to fight against addiction, that I had power to fight against chains, that I had power to break down strongholds in my own personal life. Amen. So I'm letting somebody right now, if you're in bondage, if there's strongholds in your life, if you're dealing with something in your life, God wants to set you free, but you need to give over to the Holy Ghost. You need to give yourself over to the Holy Ghost and be filled by Him. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And so I received the Holy Ghost, amen, and I know that I received power. And after that, I started learning how to walk in the Spirit, how to war in the Spirit, how to fight in the Spirit, amen, and fight against dominions and principalities, because we have been given power by the Holy Ghost, not to be slaves to sin, but to be slaves to Christ. So if you're struggling with something, God can set you free right now, today, in this service, amen. So I just want to reiterate that if there are chains in your heart, if you were hurt as a child as I was, if you're dealing with addictions, whether it's drugs, alcohol, pornography, whatever you're dealing with, my God has the power to set you free. And my God has the power and authority to make you free. So I want you to think of that through this whole service. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, I'm letting you know God wants you. God wants to live in you, and God wants to set you free. God doesn't want you to live in shame, to live in guilt, to live in depression, to live in fear, but God wants you to be free. And there is one thing that I realized this morning. As I was worshiping God, as I was praising God, there was a smile in my face, and I realized that I'm so happy that no longer that I don't have any more chains, amen, that I can dance, that I can glorify God, because He has set me free, and I am not bound by any chain anymore, amen. And I have power now to fight darkness, to fight the enemy, amen. And then so where you're sitting right now, if you can just lift up your hands, I want to pray a small prayer, because I believe God wants to set you free if you're dealing with chains. And in Jesus' name, God, I come before you right now, God, and I declare, Lord, broken chains, God. I declare depression, Father God, to leave this place right now in Jesus' name, oh God. I declare, Father God, that every individual that has not been filled with the Holy Ghost will be filled with the Holy Ghost today, God. I give you praise and I give you glory for what you're going to do. Let's worship God right now for what He's going to do.
We can keep worshiping right now. Go ahead and keep worshiping God right now. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy, God. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of God so strongly right now. I don't know about you guys, but I feel the anointing of God so strongly right now in this place. Like you said, back in worship, I can feel the presence of God just sweep through this place. God is going to do something in this place. Amen. Does anyone believe that today? Does anyone believe that today? Can we worship God right now? Can we lift our hands up to God right now? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Keep worshiping. We're not done yet. We're not done yet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, I present myself right now. God, do something in my life. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. I'd like to give honor to Pastor and Sister Brownie. They've taken such good care of us. I'm so thankful for the friendship that we have formed, and for this beautiful church, each and every one of you are so sweet, and I thank you for the opportunity to speak here. I am so sorry. Okay. Well, if we can start, actually, I'll come back to that, but name of Jesus, can we just bow our heads one more time right now? And if anything, if you all can just stretch a hand towards me and just reach out to me and just pray over me that God may speak through me. God, right now I pray that I may decrease and that you may increase, God. God, let it be your words, let it be your thoughts right now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you may take over, that your will be done, that your kingdom come in this place, that you may come and establish your place, your throne in this place in the name of Jesus. Have your way, God. Have your way. Have your way, Jesus' name. Since the beginning of time, the enemy has been trying to stop the plan of God. How many know that? That since the beginning of time, the enemy has been trying to stop the plan of God. If we look back in Genesis, we see that Satan is talking to Adam and Eve in the garden, and he is trying to persuade them to eat of this fruit. His intentions were to derail the plan of God and God's purpose for Adam and Eve. Yet, though they did take that fruit, they were unsuccessful because God's plan still went forward. Next, we go to Exodus. Here, God is trying to, here Satan is trying to keep God's people bound and enchained in his kingdom. They spend years in Egypt under bondage and in slavery. The devil thought he was hindering God's plan, keeping them bound, but little did he know that he was simply preparing them for something greater. He was simply going along with God's plan the entire time. How many of you guys know that? That God is preparing you for something greater. Anyone, can anyone testify that in your storm, in your trial, in your Egypt, that God is preparing you for something greater? That when you all were low and in the streets, when you all were in your trials and in your storms, you didn't know, I didn't know I'd be standing here today, that when I was in my bondage, when I was in my chains, that I would be up here ministering to you all right now. God was preparing me for something greater. God knew the people that I was going to reach. Can anyone testify that they have a testimony right now, that they have a testimony that God has been preparing you for something greater? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. David was a king of Israel. He was a king. He was God's anointed one. The Bible said he had a heart after God, and he had a relationship with God. And the enemy had been watching David. Everyone said he was watching David. He was observing David, right? He was studying David to see what would make him fall, what would make him trip. Can anyone testify? Can anyone testify today? Hallelujah. And so it's not by coincidence that Bathsheba was aligned perfectly in David's path. It was no coincidence. It was all intentional that Bathsheba would be there perfectly for David during that time to tempt him and to make him fall. You see, David did fall. He did. And Satan probably watched that fall with pleasure. He probably watched that fall with satisfaction that he had tripped up one of God's anointed people. He probably watched that with satisfaction that he had fulfilled his plan. And in his mind, he thought he had truly won that battle. But in Satan's mind, Satan can never destroy the plan of God. Amen. Can anyone testify that Satan can never stop the plan of God for your life? Satan can never do anything. He doesn't have enough power to stand against our God. He doesn't have enough power to hinder that plan of God. Hallelujah. Finally, we go to the book of Esther. And Esther was simply just a regular Jewish girl who had been queen of Persia. And little did he know that Esther would be a prayer warrior. Everyone say a prayer warrior. Everyone say we need our prayer warriors. Hallelujah. And she was a prayer warrior. And as a decree was sent out to annihilate all of the Jews, Esther began to pray, and she began to fast, and she began to cry unto God, and she began to intercede. And as the decree was being signed, the enemy probably watched and waited, said, oh, my plan is coming to pass. Oh, it's being fulfilled. But suddenly, as the enemy is watching his plan coming to pass, he hears a mumbling in the background. He hears a cry from a prayer closet from Esther saying, God, I stand in the gap for my people. God, I intercede for my people. Hallelujah. As he's watching the decree being signed by the king, the enemy hears, oh, God, I need you to take your place right now. God, I need you to take your throne right now. God, let your will be done. Thy kingdom come in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. She began to intercede on behalf for her people, and she went to war for them, and the enemy had lost the battle again. Hallelujah. You see, when our mouth is closed, when we're not praying, we have given authority over to the enemy. Our mouth is closed. We have no prayers. Our power comes from our prayers. But when we stop praying, we give the authority over to the enemy. So since the beginning of time, the enemy has been trying to stop the plan of God, and we find ourselves here today. Amen. We find ourselves going through our trials, going through our storms the way they did. And the enemy still, because I'm still standing here, I'm pretty sure some of you all have a bunch of testimonies that you are still here today. Amen. That you're sitting on these pews, that you're living for God. So that proves to me, that tells me that no matter what, some of you all have been through hell and back. Hell and back. back and you are still standing. And just to give out, to give in so quickly, I never understand why some people, they have powerful testimonies, and later down the line, they begin to get weary and they begin to lose the faith, and I don't know about this anymore. And who, I'm getting my mighty tired, and God, where are you now? If God was there before you then, God will never leave you now. The Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So my God never changes. And if my God was there back in Egypt, and if he freed them, and if he delivered them back in Egypt, my word says God is the same. So he will deliver me today. He will deliver me from every trial. He will deliver me from every storm that I go through. Amen. Can I get a witness today that my God is a deliverer? That my God is a deliverer. Can I get a witness today? Does anyone have a testimony today that God delivered you? Hallelujah. Can we stand today? Can we raise our hands? Can we give God a shout of praise? Hallelujah. 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 The Bible says that our God is mighty in battle, that he is victorious, that he is triumphant. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. My God never changes. My God is a deliverer. He brought Egypt out. He will bring you out. He brought Egypt out. He will bring those people that are on the streets that think they have no way, that think they have no truth, that think that they have no future. Oh, just wait and try my God. Someone say, try my God. Someone say, try my God. Hallelujah. My own mom, back in the fifth grade, my mom got addicted to drugs and alcohol. She had been abused sexually, verbally, but by one of her own family members. And by the fifth grade, she turned to alcohol because she thought that was her way of escape. She saw people, you know, drinking and, you know, having fun. And she thought, oh, surely that's the way out. Surely that's how I get rid of this hurt and this pain, that this is where everyone else is having fun at, so this is what I'm going to do. And so she began to drink her life away by the fifth grade. And so she went through her childhood, she went through her young teens, drinking, addicted to, she probably did every drug that you can imagine, and she drank her life away, and she was kicked out of school, and this and that, anything that you can think of, she probably went through. And she was abused multiple times. It wasn't just a one type of thing, but multiple times. It was a frequent thing in her life that she was abused. And so people would tell, you have no hope, and they would tell her parents, send her here and send her there and send her to a bunch of psychiatrists, but they had no answers. They had no answers because they don't have truth, amen? They do not know our God the way that we do, that he is our deliverer. They don't know the power of our God. They don't know the power of our God. They think they have the answers, but until you've tried my God, you do not have the full answer, amen? So she is an example of being delivered. Statistics would say that I myself, a child of a druggie and of a person addicted to alcohol, should be addicted to alcohol as well. Statistics should say that I should be a high school dropout. Amen? They would say that I would have no life and no future, and I would end up just like my parents, but I've come to prove them wrong, that it's possible to live for God. It's possible to come out of your storms. It's possible to come out of your trials and still be faithful to a God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says God is my provider. He is my shelter, and he gives me directions. Just like the Hebrews were wandering in the wilderness, and they needed food, and they needed shelter, and God provided that. The Bible, if God was a provider back then in those days, surely my God is a provider now, that he is a provider for me. I'm going to give you another example. That 5 weeks ago, I want to build some faith in this place. I feel faith so strongly in this place. 5 weeks ago, I got a call late at night, and I got a call. Our family, we started a business from the years ago, just out of the corner of our house, and we built it, and we worked it together. The only employees were all of my siblings and my parents. And so my dad, through the years, has been able to build it successfully. And so 5 weeks ago, I got a call, and I was sitting in my room, and my brother had called me, and he said that the business was on fire. And this, you have to understand, this is something that we've all worked so hard for, that we've poured ourselves into, that when no one else could do the work, that we would do whatever it took to make this a successful company. And so they had called and he said, the business is on fire. And we showed up and we watched the flames just devour our building and all that we had worked so hard for. Not one bit. I wish I could truly say that I was hurt for a second. You know, it was hard to see, but I had a peace about it, which may be strange. Some people want to, you know, immediately, oh, I don't know what to do, and God, help me, and this, and God, why would you do this? But I remembered a verse in Job 1:27 that said, blessed be the name of the Lord. He giveth and he taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. And we lost about everything. We lost 80% of everything that we had. But God is our provider. And God has been taking care of us ever since. Yes, we may not have much. And it was gone in the blink of an eye. But as long as I have my God, I know he's going to take care of me. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 We go through our storms and we go through our trials, but I'm wondering if we can worship no matter what it looks like. I'm wondering if we have a praise in us that when things get hard, when things get tough, that God, oh, you're worthy. God, I worship you. God, I praise you. No matter what it looks like, no matter what my finances may say, no matter what the pain is in my body, if some of you all have been feeling sick, have been having cancer, or whatever the disease may be, we bind it right now. We take authority over it right now in the name of Jesus. Yes, I may be going through it, but I still got to shout within me. I still got to worship within me. And if you want to stop that worship, you're going to have to kill me, but better believe that I will be in heaven still worshiping and praising God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, my rock. Hallelujah. He is my rock. He is my rock. He is my provider. He is my provider. He is my shelter. Can anyone testify today? Hallelujah. Can anyone testify today that you've come from some hard places, that you've had some hard times, that you've had some hard situations, but you're still standing? God is our provider, and God is our shield. God is our redeemer. There's people that we have in our lives that, you know, have walked away from God, that don't know truth, that don't want to live for God. But I've come with the authority of God right now. And we claim those people as God's people. We claim them as God's people. I've had family members that have walked away from God. I've had family members that turn their back against God, that when it goes and gets tough, they want nothing to do with it. And they walk away. Where's God now? But I say right now, oh, they're in my prayers. I tell you, I keep this picture in my Bible. And it's a young girl, and she has cancer. I keep this picture in my Bible. She doesn't have truth. She doesn't know what it is. But every day I open up my Bible, I say, Lord, she's yours. God, I set her on an altar today. God, I give her to you, Jesus, for she is going to know truth. She's going to live for you. Some of us have lost family members. They are coming back. Can we proclaim it? We're not going to beg, and we're not going to cry, but we're going to walk in the authority God has given us, and we're going to say, oh, they're coming. I'm waiting for those doors to open because they're coming through those doors. Everyone say, they're coming. They're coming. Say, they're God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just worship God right now? Go ahead and praise God. I feel a strong anointing right now. Hallelujah. So no matter what we go through, no matter what it looks like, God has a plan. God has a plan. If God has had a plan since the beginning, God surely has a plan right now. In the name of Jesus, God has a plan, and no matter what, the enemy can never stop it. He can never do anything to derail that plan of God. So sometimes it may take a minute. It may take a while. It may be a process, but I will keep waiting. I will keep praying. I will keep fasting until that plan comes to pass. Amen. Everyone worship God right now. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. Lift your voices up to God right now. We have so much to thank God for. We have so much to worship God for. Let your praises flow from your mouth right now. Hallelujah.
Amen. Just continue to worship the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. He is a good God. Can you give the Lord a hand praise one more time? Amen. Praise God. Surely his presence is in this place. Amen. I might have a little trouble here, but I'll work it out. Amen. Amen. Can you give the Lord a hand praise for everything that's taking place today? Hallelujah. I'll keep my remarks short, but I do want to thank Pastor Brownie, his wife, his family, amen, for their amazing hospitality. They've been too kind. Amen. I think we may need to call the college and say, these people have been too kind to us. We don't know what we can repay you guys with, but surely the Lord is in your home. The Lord is in this church. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand praise for this praise team, the worship team? They are amazing. Has an amazing worship team. Man, they can do it all. The Brownies can do it all. There's nothing they can't do. Amen. You guys are extremely... Can you praise the Lord for the pastoral family? Amen. Can you give the Lord a shout of praise? Amen. Because you have a great man of God. You have a great man of God before you. And I thank God for him. Amen. His testimony has amazed us. Amen. So amazing. Every new face, every new individual we get to meet. Amen. It's good to know we're not alone. Amen. When you live in California, it gets kind of lonely sometimes when you look at politics. But amen. Thank you for the juice. Amen. This mic just became a little bit more Pentecostal. Amen. Hallelujah. I need a Pentecostal microphone. Amen. What do you do without Pentecostal microphones? Amen. Sister Johnny, I believe, right? I thank God for her. What an amazing saint you guys have here, Pastor Brownie. I had about a 20-second conversation. What an amazing woman you guys have here. You guys have amazing saints. Amen. I am believing God is going to give you guys revival. Amen. Can you clap your hands? I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe there is revival in Milwaukee. I don't care how great sin is. I can tell you the God we serve is greater. We serve a great God. I say we serve a great God. I serve a mighty God. There is nothing impossible. What we can do, his grace is sufficient. He is powerful. You know how powerful he is? When death and grave try to hold him down, he resurrected from the dead and he trampled on the head of the enemy and he rose with all glory and with all power. And greater things shall ye do. No, a lot of times we say, God, you can do it. And he could, but he can't. Because we are his hands, we are his feet, we are his mouth. We are his body that works. So I can tell you, I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what the news station says. I don't care what statistics say. We serve a God that breaks every record. We got a God that scientists cannot explain. We have a God that can perform miracles that doctors will never learn in school. But I can tell you, we serve a great God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank God for his presence. Amen. We can stand real fast. Amen. I know you guys have been standing, but it's okay. If you don't hit the gym, You're getting a workout, amen. You're getting your squats in, amen. Amen. You don't got money for the gym, just keep squatting a little bit. There you go. Amen. You burn a couple calories. You keep doing that throughout the service. Amen. I say Pentecostals don't need a gym. So you know what? You want to run some miles? Run some miles. It's all right. It's just us and Jesus. The King of Kings is here. And if people can jump and shout for people who could care less about you, how much more can we praise somebody who died for us so we can have life and that we might have it more abundantly? Amen. Hallelujah. It makes me excited every time I talk about Jesus. Amen. So if you can go to your Bibles. Amen. Genesis chapter 12, verses. Let me read verses 1 to 3. Amen. Praise God. I do feel some direction from the Lord. Amen. But can you help me preach? Amen. Can you help me preach? Am I in a Pentecostal church? Amen. It's all right. You can say amen. You can shout hallelujah. You can run some miles. Do some backflips. Do something. Jump a pew. Just don't jump through the window, but do something. Do something amazing. Amen. We can have a blow, man. Matter of fact, can we just worship the Lord right now? I just feel joy in my soul. I feel a joy in my spirit when I think about the goodness of Jesus and everything that he does for me. My soul cries out, hallelujah. I don't need an organ. I don't need a piano. I don't need the drums. I'll praise him anyhow. I'll say hallelujah anyhow because he's been too good. He's been too good. He's been too good. He's been too good. Hallelujah. My, I'm trying to get to the word, but I feel the joy of the Lord in this place. I feel his joy. I feel his love. I feel his grace. Hallelujah. That's it. Just lift your hands right now. If this is as far as we get, I don't mind. Just lift your hands. Worship the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for his unspeakable joy. Hallelujah. I'm going to go read quick. Amen. So y'all can remain standing. I'll just go ahead and read real fast. Amen. Genesis 12, 1 through 3 says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out. Everybody say, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And listen to this. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. If you could sit down, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm blessed. How about you? Yeah, go ahead. Give him a high five. Do something. Give him a high five. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. In the 12th chapter of Genesis, we find in the context the event where God calls Abram. Now, I would like us to understand, if we read in the text, that when God called Abram, he really didn't give him any solid evidence of any of the promises that God made him. Nevertheless, he believed God. If we understand, we read the story of Abram.
Sarai was barren. Nevertheless, God tells him, I will make of thee a great nation. That did not fit in Abram's logic. Nevertheless, Abram believed God. Amen. And this is the same concept for us when we receive the gospel of Christ. Do you understand that you believe in a 2,000-year-old story of a man named Jesus that was supposed to be the Christ? We believe that Jesus was not an ordinary man. Somebody preached to me and let me know that Jesus was the spotless Lamb of God that came down to earth to die for my sins. I believed that when Jesus hung on the cross, my sins were on that cross. People told me that if I was sick, I can find healing, because they told me that in this Bible, in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, that his stripes would heal me. I believed it. They also had the audacity to tell me that 3 days later, this man that was called Jesus resurrected from the dead. But not only for a short time, but the difference, matter of fact, the difference about Jesus, Lazarus resurrected unto a mortal life. He came out to the grave to continue to live on earth. However, Jesus Christ resurrected from mortality to immortality. So he is the only human recorded in history that went from a dead mortal state to a live immortal state. And they told me that if I would believe in Jesus, when I die, I will not be in the grave forever. That one day he would come back for me. And that is the beautiful story they told me that will one day be called heaven. We dream about heaven. We talk about heaven. But heaven was the concept that was preached through the gospel of Christ. Did it make logical sense? No. But I had faith that it happened. Because if I go back to Jerusalem and I go to the tombs where they believe he was put in, they cannot find his bones. They cannot find his body. So by faith, I believe that he resurrected from the dead. By faith. When I heard the preaching of the word of the Lord, they told me that I needed to repent of my sins. I didn't understand it, but they said, if you are baptized in Jesus' name, you will be forgiven of your sins. Now, was it my logic that understood? Of course not. But it was by faith. Everyone say, by faith. I believe that God would deliver and forgive a filthy sinner like I was. When I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, people always say, what's going to happen when I receive it? I said, I don't know. I can't give it to you. People try to shake their tongue around a little bit. And blah, 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 blah. You can't do it. It is a supernatural experience. Matter of fact, when I speak in tongues, I don't get it. But I know that day when I received the Holy Ghost, I was trying to say Jesus in English, and I was speaking in a language I did not learn when I was a child. But it was not my logic that understood the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But when somebody came up to me, they say, do you believe that God can fill you with His Spirit? I was 8 years old. I said, well, sure. I didn't understand how my tongue was flapping other ways. I didn't know how to flap it. But it was by faith, and the essence and the glory of God came upon this mortal being. And all of a sudden, I spoke in a language I didn't understand. But what I'm trying to, the reason I'm bringing this up, it wasn't my logic. Scientists cannot prove to me how I will receive the Holy Ghost. That's why we don't need people with a PhD trying to pray you through to the Holy Ghost. All we need is a simple individual who has faith that after putting on, after laying on of the hands, by faith, you will receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm in a hurry. I'm probably already 20 minutes in. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So therefore, as Christians, we must understand that this walk is by faith. So people tell you you're crazy. Say, of course I am. But I know He lives. People tell you, well, scientists have disproven. They can't really disprove it. All they have is theories upon theories that really were never proven. It's just a simple theory. But I can tell you that when you lift your hands in the name of Jesus, you will feel a power that the world cannot explain. So this faith that we, this Christian walk is by faith. So I can tell you today, you can have cancer, your family member may be sick, whatever the situation is, I can tell you, if you have faith, you can receive your miracle. Miracles are overcomplicated sometimes. We try to say, well, you have to have 90% faith, 20% faithful, and we start going, you need to have like, it has to be the pinnacle of time. But really, the simplicity of faith is just say, I believe God. Just as the sun rises in the morning and goes down in the evening, is the same way you could understand. If that goes up and that goes down, I have faith that God is real. And if you understand He's real, just say, I believe you, God. Mark 9:23 would say, all things are possible to him that believeth. Matter of fact, I'll just give a quick testimony. I had about $1,300 about a week before I went to Bible college. I was driving in the car with my mom. We were on our way home, and she said, son, you realize you only have, you know, matter of fact, I only had $800 in my bank account, just to make it real. All right? And I was going to have a little bit more after I got paid, so I was all right. And she said, me, I'm Mexican, you can't tell, all right. I don't know how many of y'all have in Milwaukee, but amen. She, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And she said, mijo, you don't have the money. Why are you going to go? And, well, I love my mother and all your mother and your father, but she got me a little mad. She got me a little ticked off, and I said, Ma, God spoke to me and said He'll take me to Stockton. She said, yeah, but you don't have money. Why do you even go? I said, well, I felt the confirmation of the Holy Ghost. I had a specific given word. I knew I was supposed to go. I turned to her and I said, but you know what? By faith, if it's His will to me be in Stockton, California, I don't know how He's going to do it, but I remember He's God anyway. In the matter of a week, God opened doors till I had nearly $3,000 in my name. I had them under my belt. How did I get it? I don't know. But I believe that God was able. Matter of fact, when my mom dropped me off, she said, God really did come through, right? He's faithful. I said, He's faithful. So I'm a wacko for Jesus. People say, how are you going to know that? How are you going to receive that? How is that person going to get healed? I don't know. But I believe God. People are going to tell you, Pastor Brownie, how are you going to win this city? It's wicked. Our answer is, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord that we shall overcome. Hallelujah. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Why don't you go ahead and give Him a shout of praise? I said, somebody shout unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel faith. I feel faith. I feel faith in Milwaukee this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. So now, might shift a little bit here, but I believe this is what the Lord wants us to know. So now, why did I get baptized? And why did I take the step of faith to receive the Holy Ghost? It was because the gospel convinced me that one day Jesus will return for all those who believe and trust in Him. I can tell you, being faithful to church is an absolute. People will tell you there's so much church. I say, I don't care. I want to be faithful to my master, because I know one day He's coming back, and He ain't coming back for a slothful servant. He's not going to come back for somebody who dug up their talent. He's coming up for somebody that when they say, look, you're broke, look, you ain't got nothing going, I say, I don't care. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. So let me tell you that this world is not your home. To all us who have made a covenant with God, I don't care what you're going through, you can lift your eyes up to the heavens and know one day He will come back for me. Doesn't that get you excited? I mean, doesn't that get you excited? This ain't a 12-step program. This isn't just another feel-good, tickle me, I feel a little better now. This is real. This is truth. He said He's coming back. He said it 2,000 years ago. They said they were wacko. I tell you, in 2019, I still believe. So therefore, it is of utmost importance that we are reminded of this promise in the days that we are living in. Why? I don't know if you took a little look around town or around the world, but this world has lost its right mind. I feel a strong anointing of the Holy Ghost right now. We are living in a world that does not have a brain. I think by next year, logic and morality will be out of Webster's dictionary. We are living in a world with humans that walk around like chickens without a head. I would say all that as a joke, but look at your local news broadcast. Look at the international news. Politicians, the educational system has lost their mind. And I get scared sometimes. Can I be real? It's scary. I see these people on these shows, PhDs, people that are well studied. And God brought a kid from the hood. And he said, I need you to reach them. I said, what? I passed high school by the grace of God. But you know what I know? That not many noble and not many wise are called. But God saw a meth addict. God saw a heroin addict. God saw a homeboy on the street that lost his mind. Couldn't stay off drugs. Couldn't stay out of the sight of the police. And what the world said, you'll be another Hispanic part of the jail system. But God saw trash. And he said, what you don't see, I see treasure in him. People say, I'm messed up. I've done it all. But I tell you that the grace of God is sufficient for us. But I'm up with the challenge. We're up against the challenge, Pastor Brownie. We're living in a time where righteousness is frowned upon and wickedness is praised. But I tell you, I have made up my mind. I will be part of the church. Call me a bigot. Whatever you want to call me. I know what I have believed. And I know that it is the truth. For the heavens confess the glory of God. And the earth, the works of his hands. I can tell you, if you are in the church, there has been no greater time to be in the house of a living God. I come to tell you, he's not on the cross. They can paint pictures of him, but he's the invisible God. And I know that he lives. Does somebody believe that? It could get a little quiet. But you know what? This is essential. You better be careful not building your kingdom on this earth. Now, I'm not saying have a good job. That's okay. You can go to college. That's fine. What I am telling you is you better be careful when you start putting God in second, third, or fourth place. He ain't trying to be a sugar daddy. He ain't trying to be your thing on the side. The Bible says he's the King of Kings. The Bible says he's the Lord of Lords. Matter of fact, when you say, I ain't got time for you, he said, I lost time for you a long time ago. We think we can play God. God ain't playing with nobody. Because he got what you need. We say, I got money. He said, that's it. He said, I got cars. He said, that's it. Woo! You say, I got a PhD. That's it. He said, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. He said, all the silver and all the gold is mine. And he said, the last time I checked, he said, I'm the only one that walked out of the grave. That's my king. That's my God. That's him in whom I trust. Hallelujah. I can tell you right now, this is the only truth you need. Islam ain't got it. The Mormons definitely don't got it. The Jehovah's Witnesses are way out in left field. I can tell you, if you are one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy rolling, Jesus, the baptized believer, I can tell you, you are in the truth. I still believe. I said, I still believe. I said, I still believe. So I can tell all these crazy nutcase politicians, y'all keep fighting. I'm waiting on Jesus. People are looking for truth. But we can stand firm. When people tell you, well, who are you? Last time I checked, God is my daddy. Who's your daddy? I got a daddy that's never lost a battle. People are scared of the devil. I got a daddy that did a little dance over the devil. Woo! All right, I'm going to finish. Get somebody on the keyboard. If I can have somebody on the keyboard, please. Somebody on the drum. Hey, man, you know what? I want to shout a little bit. I want to shout a little bit. I don't know if somebody is convinced today. I am convinced. I am persuaded, matter of fact, that life, death, principalities, and powers, the mountain high or the valley low, nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Can we stand to our feet? I think this is the time we need to reaffirm our feet. There's been no greater time for us to start shouting. You know what? Let me be honest. I went through a mental battle this week like never before. And the devil tells you, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? And you know, he's over there like that feisty chihuahua, but he's in the corner, so he looks like a Doberman. You know what I'm saying? You can only see a shadow. And he's, whoa, I got you now. I got you now. And you know what? We do get scared. Don't lie. Some people swear they live all, they're always in fear. We go through trials. That's the matter of fact. I can tell you, if you're always in victory, how'd you ever get there? Know what that means? I fought some battles. The devil thought he had me down. I said the devil thought I was out. He gave me a mean left blow. And I was stumbling. And all I can do is, well, God will show up. Woo! But one day Jesus just walked on by. And he said, and you know what? He came this morning. And God knew. God knew what I was going through. But you know what he said? He said, all you had to do was ask. And I revived. And I remember, I have a greater hope. Come on. I said, I have a great. Can somebody come to the front right now? Can I have somebody that has a testimony? Can I have somebody right now? Maybe you had cancer. Maybe you had some sort of disease. But if it wasn't for the grace of God. I said he's coming back. I said he's coming back for me. Hallelujah. Yeah. I said, does anybody know? Does anybody know that your Redeemer lives? Does anybody know? I may have been out, but if it wasn't for God. Woo, can we praise him a little bit? Come on. Can somebody jump a little bit? Come on, can somebody jump? If he's made a way out of no way. Come on. I said if he's made a way. Yeah. Come on. Somebody praise him. Somebody praise him. The devil said I was out. But God said I was in. The devil said I was out. But God made a way. Say, I gotta praise. Yeah. Hey, I gotta praise. Come on, help me out now. If he's been good, if he's been good. Yeah. Come on, help me sing, I gotta praise. I gotta pray. Come on, somebody.
I gotta pray.
Come on.
I gotta pray. I gotta praise and I gotta let it down. I gotta pray.
Somebody shout.
I gotta pray. I gotta praise and I gotta let it down.
I gotta pray. Somebody praise him for the victory.
I gotta praise, I gotta praise, and I gotta let it down. I gotta praise. Praise him.
He's been too good. He's been too good. He's been too good. He's been too good. Pray, pray, pray.
I gotta pray.
I gotta pray.
I gotta let it out. I gotta pray. I gotta pray. I gotta pray. And I gotta let it out. I gotta pray.
You know what? I don't see full participation. If you got a testimony, if you can't dance, do the Jimmy. If you can't jump, move a little bit. I want to tell you that there is power in your praise. If I could have somebody else, anybody else, if you got a testimony, I want you to come. Matter of fact, I'll tell you, if you need a miracle, I want you to come right now. Because the miracle worker is in the house. Now at the count of three, come on. I know I got somebody else. I know I got more. I got more people in here. What I want you to do, at the count of three, you don't have to have your miracle now, but we're going to tell the devil, I'll worship him anyhow. Y'all ready? You can be healed right now in the name of Jesus. All you got to do is praise the Lord. Ready? How many believe? How many believe? Ready? Ready, hold on. Ready. Hey, come on. Come on. I want you to give him the highest praise.
I got a praise.
Ready, say it.
I got a praise.
I got a praise. And I say, I got a praise.
I got a praise.
Yeah. Good. I got a praise.
I got a praise.
No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know
that I win. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that I win. I win.
Come on, somebody run an aisle.
I win.
I said somebody run an aisle. Say it's not over. You may be down, but you're not out. I just like to finish here. If you can stand by faith. I want to finish. I'll just go ahead and read this. The Holy Ghost is in this place. There is heavenly power. If you're living with mental oppression, let me be honest. We can slow it down now. If you're living with mental oppression and you know it, It doesn't have to be you're mentally disabled, but you know there's a battle going on in your mind. I'm just asking you, lift your hands. Just lift your hands. It doesn't matter. I'm not asking you specifics. Shadabakanda, leatamaha. I don't need to tell you what's going on. You don't need to tell me. All, if you are struggling, don't let the devil take your blessing right now. There are angels, ministering spirits, the Bible says, unto the would-be heirs of salvation. They are moving right now. They're hovering in this place. But most of all, Jesus is walking amongst us. And right now, we're going to make a prayer for you. Anybody, matter of fact, if you need a miracle too, raise your hand. If you need a miracle, you know you need a miracle. We're going to make a prayer. The Bible says anything you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Anything you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We're going to pray. And here's the thing. Look, we just prayed for a young man that was diagnosed with Asperger's. I didn't know, but he needed healing. I went over and I began to pray. And I told them, I need you to say, I am free. I said it, I prayed just like any other prayer. He came, I had another friend that came back to me about 10 minutes later. He said, hey, that guy we just prayed for said he was just healed from Asperger's. I'll tell you again, if you have faith, the devils know when you're just praying. And they know when you're sick and tired. When you look at the devil and say, I am so sick and tired of you. And you say, in the name of Jesus. And when you say that name, and you got the blood, he said, you know what? It's been long enough. You got to let him go. Lift your hands right now. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the authority that's in the word of God, and by the power that's in the name of Jesus, I curse every sickness. God, I'm commanding every devil that has oppressed the saints of the Most High. I come to serve you. Notice, this is your last day. I command you to let them go at this declaration of faith. You're ready now at the count of three. I want everybody to shout Jesus and say, I am free. Amen. So by the authority of the word of God and by the power that is in the name of Jesus, confirm your word, Lord, with signs following. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Jesus, I am free. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. Rejoice for your victory. Rejoice for your victory. Rejoice for your victory.